Protect your church by your abiding mercy, we beseech you, O Lord. And since all mortals fall without you, may your help keep them from danger and guide them to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, dear faithful, these words are the collect prayer from today's Mass. In this prayer, we ask God to protect and to guide his church. It is a church that we all know to some degree. It's a church that we profess our belief in every day when we say our rosary, when we say the Apostles' Creed and profess, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And, of course, we're all here because we are members of this same church. But do we really reflect upon what we are professing our belief in when we recite our creed? How would you define the Catholic Church? How would you explain exactly what this church is? Let me offer you a succinct definition of what the Catholic Church is. The Catholic Church is a visible institution founded by Christ in which men are trained for heaven. Let's explore this a little bit more. The Catholic Church first is a visible institution. This is set up out of necessity. The church has to be visible. It's necessarily a public institution. Christ came for every person to redeem them. And if the people couldn't find the church, it would be impossible for them to follow it. In fact, our Lord commands the apostles to make this known to everybody throughout the entire world when he said, going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And because there are many people in the Catholic Church, it has to be governed as a society, and this helps in its visibility for itself. That is, it has to maintain order as a society, much like creation itself or any kind of government or any kind of larger group has to have a head and then governing body members to keep it in order. And so the church had Peter. Peter was the head of that early church, and his successors carried on his office after him. And we can see this from the very beginning. The dissensions rose up in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, in about the year 100. And at that time, St. John the Apostle was still alive. Yet the people didn't bring their problems to St. John, who was one of the 12, but rather they sent it to the Bishop of Rome. They sent it to who at that time was St. Clement. And it was he who decided on what the solution to those dissensions would be. Now, obviously, for ourselves, to have a head of the Catholic Church in these days, one would have to be actually a Catholic. One would have to be a true professor of Christ and his faith. And for us, we can't follow someone who is a false claimant as we have now. But still, that office maintains the office of the papacy. The next level in the hierarchy, that visible structure of the church, are the other apostles at the beginning, who are, with their successors now, the bishops of our day. They have that extended power of the apostles, as we can see that passed on to St. Matthias in the scriptures when he takes the place of Judas Iscariot. And the main duties of a bishop, aside from ordaining other priests and conferring the sacrament of confirmation, the main duty of bishops is being in charge of overseeing many of the priests and overseeing many different building churches, the parishes, throughout the Christendom, to make sure that they all, in their own way, run smoothly and are vessels of the faith for the faithful. And they commissioned the next rung to help them in this regard, which is the priests. The priests work in those churches throughout the world, more directly there with the people, and taking care of the day-to-day activities and administering the other sacraments to the faithful. And they work there faithfully under the guidance of their bishop. And then lastly, it brings us to the main body, which is the faithful, all of yourselves, the majority of the members of the church. And the duty of the faithful is to follow the guidance of priests and bishops in spiritual matters, because you first and foremost have to care after your souls. You have to care after those in your charge, your children, your spouses, those who are under your care. And you have to lead each and every one of yourselves towards holiness. But this can't be done really well without a guide. And that is why the church has given those of priests and bishops to instruct and guide the faithful. Now, of course, today, we have to make sure that we find good and conscientious clergy. But once they're found, once we find that church that we know to be a good church with good clergy, we should and must follow their guidance in spiritual matters, because it's this that will see us towards our own salvation. In addition to the people, there's also aspects to the church that are visible. The sacraments are outward or visible signs instituted by Christ that give grace. The normal means for us to obtain graces, the normal means for us to sanctify ourselves, are clearly visible there before us. The prayers offered publicly, the sacrifice of the Mass, the processions, the various aspects that happen in a very public way for all to see, are all very necessary and very fruitful parts of the Catholic Church. And it's for this we can say that those who hold the home alone position are gravely in error, because they reduce the church to a private institution. They take away all of the public parts of it. They take away the public prayer. They take away the sacraments. They take away any kind of common worship and the entire society as it's of itself, and reduce it to simple rosaries in their own home, denying the public, visible nature of the church. The second part is that we find that the church is founded by Christ. First, we see that most clearly in the scriptures. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And as we talked about before, words mean things. I will build my church. Christ insisting that he is setting up the church, and it is going to belong to him, and it's going to be that singular one church, which, as we know, is the Catholic Church. St. Timothy also is another section where we see St. Timothy describing what the church is, and he says it is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Many other scriptures also talk about the foundation of Christ over the church, creating the church. We see it from not only a scriptural sense, but a historical sense as well. Christ's divinity, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is proved by his resurrection. We know that he's God because he rose from the dead as he said. It was for our salvation that he did that. And there are many other proofs in his life that also show his divinity. And because we can know Christ to be God, and because he did set up a church, we have to look for the church that he founded. And the Catholic Church is the only one which can trace itself back to Christ. Every other religion in the world traces back to some man. You know, if you're a Lutheran, you trace back to Martin Luther. If you're a Calvinist, you trace to Calvin and all the others as well. And so, but the Catholic faith traces to Jesus Christ himself. We also see this foundation by Christ by the maintenance of a doctrinal purity, a purity of doctrine that can only be maintained by divine intercession. There is no other church out there. There is no other religion out there that has maintained a constancy in all of their teachings of the faith throughout their entire lifetime. Yet the Catholic Church has and always will, because Christ stands as its protector. As he says, I will be with you all days. We can see that clearly from the writings of the church fathers, that they indeed believe the exact same things that we believe. We see that in the lives of the martyrs and what they died for, even in the early church martyrs. For example, some of the martyrs were put to death for the crime of cannibalism because they professed to truly receive the body and blood of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And thirdly and lastly, the Catholic Church trains man for heaven. Like guardrails on a road, the church keeps us on that pathway towards God, on that pathway towards salvation. We couldn't follow Christ well unless we had that constant guidance on earth. First and foremost, in the very teachings of the church, of the teachings of Christ, to maintain in that way, as we showed before, that same purity of doctrine, it's necessary that we believe what Christ taught us. We have to follow him down to the smallest of details. And it's important for us to understand those aspects of the church. We can't study scripture well without having good, sound commentary that the church provides to us in order to not fall into error by misinterpreting it. Also, the church is our guide not only in teaching, but also in morality. Morality for our lives, how we can avoid falling into sin. We can truly know what is right, and we can truly know what is sinful and wrong and evil, because not only do we have in the scriptures the Ten Commandments, but we have well laid out, explained aspects of those commandments by the Catholic Church, by her teachers, laying it out so that we can step surely in the path of righteousness towards God. It also, the Catholic Church that is, ensures that we perform our duties to God. Man left up to his own devices will fall far short of doing what is good and pleasing in the eyes of God. If it wasn't for the church giving us Mass, giving us the mandate to come every Sunday, every holy day, then how much worship and honor and glory would we actually give to God? How much would we actually keep his day holy and follow that in the commandments? The church gives us sacrifice by her fastings, by her abstinence, by her times of penance, in order that we can offer at least some of the necessary bodily sacrifices that we have to in order to save our soul. The church teaches us how to pray. It gives us prayers that we can set aside as a structure for ourselves. The rosary, various different devotions, morning and evening prayers, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, processions, and many other things to help us sanctify ourselves. And the church gives us the means to grace. It gives us the sacraments. It gives us prayers. It gives us sacramentals, the scriptures, indulgences, and various other things that, when used well, will help us grow closer in love and service of God. God loves each and every one of us. He wants us to save our souls. He wants us to be in heaven with him for eternity. This is the very reason why he died for us. And this is why he has established his Holy Catholic Church. It came from that same sacrifice of love, that sacrifice on Calvary. It said that Eve is the mother of sinful men, and she came from the side of Adam. The new Adam, Jesus Christ, he had his side opened too. And from this source came his Holy Catholic Church, the new mother of redeemed man, because it came from the source of his divine love for us. It came from his very sacred heart. And if we love Christ in return, we will follow his church. And if we follow his Catholic Church, it will always be the ark which guides us to safe harbors in heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.